I have been fighting a chest slash sinus infection all week, so this is going to be a quick one. But as I find when I give my talks, a lot of synchronicities happen. So, like a lot of wonderful examples fell into my lap for this talk. So, I'm going to go over a little bit of what Holmes talks about, and then I'm going to give a couple of lovely little examples. And then in the second half, I'm going to do a little guided meditation based off of another cool like piece of information and example I got. So I just love when that happens. So let's just go over quickly, not too quickly, what Holmes kind of addresses in this chapter. So it's discussing, using the law to heal others. And it can be expanded to more than healing others. I mean, helping others, inspiring others, whatever you want to use it for. And so the first thing I kind of was reading it and I was like, well, I feel like his points are more helpfully addressed in like certain a certain order. So the first thing is, I think I've mentioned it in my talks before, is that the law is like it's impersonal. It's a law of nature. And he talks about this because he's at lunch with someone. And he talks about moving, I think, the pepper shaker. And he's like if I lifted this up and I dropped it, it would fall because of the law of gravity. And who does that? Like, I'm not doing that. I'm not consciously going, pepper shaker fall. Like the law of gravity does it. It's a law of nature. And he said that's kind of what this law is. This is a law that is, it's like gravity, it's like inertia, it's like, it works, and it's always working. It's always working in the back, and the key is to acknowledge it, learn about it, and then be able to use it. So that's the first thing that and I think it could be sort of a hard thing to think about because, we're a group, and if you're in this sort of sphere, we tend to be very positive, optimistic people. But the truth is, the law works for good and bad. If you walk off a cliff, gravity's going to hit you and you're going to fall. The law will work for good and bad things. And so that's the importance of recognizing it and being aware of it in your everyday life so that it's not so much just happening as, you can control it. Like you and I know, don't go walk off a cliff. Because you're not going to fly, as far as I know. So know that the law of assumption and the law of attraction and all those sort of laws work and happen, and you're aware of them, and so you know how to, and then you can use them appropriately. And then Holmes talks about how he emphasizes a lot of. He uses a lot of pages in this chapter to describe the fact that, we are all one. And again, I've talked about this before. I sort of think like I've used the metaphor of like a snow cloud, and but because it's summertime, I'm going to change it to like, in the Norse mythology and the Norse ancient like pagan Norse belief system, they had like the tree of life. And everyone on the tree of life was like a part of this tree, this trunk, these roots, but we were all a branch or we were all a blossom. And so that's how I like to address sort of the concept of like oneness is like, we all have our beautiful uniqueness, but we're all truly a part of something, we choose to believe something greater. And what he, where, Dr. Joseph Murphy's like, you can call that whatever you want to call it. Spirit, higher self, Allah, Jehovah, God, whatever you want to call it. It's just something that's beautiful and greater. And we're all a part of that. We all came from that. We all choose to believe. I think we all return to that. But I often like to think of the, if you're ever having a hard concept of it, hard time grasping that concept, I like to go back and think of that tree of life or a big snow cloud, and we're all a blossom on the tree, or we're all a tree branch, or we're all a snowflake from the same beautiful big snow cloud. So realize that when you're living your life, when you're acknowledging the law and you're learning how to use the law, you have all that beautiful power behind you and all that beautiful strength and creativity. That's all behind you and in you, and you can tap into that at any time. And Holmes says, when you want to tap into that, you can tap into it for other people. And he uses a really great example of a garden. And he talks about, if you wanted to and you were given permission to, you can go into your neighbor's garden and you can plant some seeds and you can watch them and you can tend to them. And your neighbor, like in this situation, doesn't do anything. The neighbor sort of just sits back and you are carefully tending them and being aware of it and giving it good energy and water and fertilizer and all the good stuff, making sure it gets enough sunlight. And you can do this with the law, and like you don't even need permission to do it. It's always nice, if you can, to be like, can I pray for you? Can I put you on the prayer list? But like, you don't have to. You can just sort of focus on, you can say, oh, so and so's been having a really rough week, so I'm going to start imagining them feeling better, feeling good, feeling more empowered. And that's a really fun, inspiring thought. I think it's fun, at least, the thought of being able to take the image of someone and the energy of someone and saying, I can help them. I can, because sometimes you hear people say, I feel so helpless. And in the realm of mind, in the realm of spirit, again, we're all connected. So it's almost like kind of like those old-fashioned operator switchboards, where you could kind of just plug into, like you'd call or whatever, and you'd be like, connect me to the Smiths, and like they would plug in. So like you could sort of go into your mind and be like, oh, I'm going to connect into the little socket of so and so, and I'm going to send them good energy. Or, I'm going to go onto the branch of so and so and send them good energy. And that's kind of fun. That's sort of fun. You're not, there's no element of helplessness anymore. Like you suddenly have a little bit of power. You take a little bit of your energy back and your power back, and you're like, oh, I can actually do this something, and I can focus, and I can indeed make a change. And then Holmes talks about, we all the basic study of the law, which is that, like a seed, you put it in, you put the energy out there, and you don't continually check it. And he said that he kind of talks about how this is like, it's a balance, and there's a line in the chapter where he talks about, like, yes, you return to it every day. You feed it, you give it energy, you affirm, whatever works for you. You script, whatever works for you. You visualize, you vision board, but you give it energy every day, yes, but you don't obsess over it. Like if you were a gardener, you would make sure it has sun, you would make sure it has food, you would make sure it has water. You might make sure there's a fence around it so the bunnies don't get to it, but like you wouldn't go and dig it up. So you give it energy every day, but you don't obsess over it or worry about it. And that's really the key, especially in my own personal manifestations. Like when I've just completely let it go, like I'll be like focusing and affirming day and day, like and like for a couple of weeks, and then I just let it go. It comes like within 2 days. So the key there is really just letting it go, and that can be hard in a world where we're so connected and controlled with life and Teams messages and texts and like all sorts of things. And so there's an element of really trusting. And that takes practice. And then sort of the last thing that Holmes talks about is he really sort of focuses the last part of the chapter on like, don't shortchange yourself. Like, don't realize really that you're a part of God, and like, don't belittle that. Don't think You're anything but that power, that beauty, that goodness. You have that all within you. And he uses some like scriptures that are like Jesus talking about, like I'm one with the Father. Nobody gets through the Father but through me. Don't doubt. And like, it's not coming from it in a sense of like high and mighty, haughty. It's more like, don't doubt. Don't have that. Try not to doubt. Try not to have that struggle. Excuse me. Realize really that you have that beauty and power behind you, and don't, like I said earlier, don't shortchange yourself. Don't cut yourself short. You have a lot of that beauty and power behind you, and Jesus talks a lot about, use it. You will do things greater. You will do works greater than I. Your faith can move mountains. Like he's like, use it, acknowledge it. Don't be afraid to acknowledge it. I mean, we're not talking like Kanye West levels of like, if you know who that is. If you don't, good for you. Of haughtiness and like being pride and proud and I would kind of maybe say using the law in sort of a not as great of a way. But like we do want to reclaim some power and strength and ability. We have that ability, so why not use it? And so those are the kind of topics that Holmes kind of covers in this chapter. And I, like I said, I had some beautiful synchronicities happen, which tend to happen when I give my talks. And so just a couple of fun examples that I came across this week of using the law to heal others. As many of you know, or maybe you don't, I love England. I love to travel to England. I really love London, fantastic city. And so I'm planning a trip in fall to go and visit. And it's going to be around Halloween time, which is like my favorite time of the year. So I'm like looking for like spooky things to do. And so there is a region of England that's the southwest called Cornwall. And it comes with a lot of English folklore and old English witchcraft and sort of thing and healing. Folk healing sort of comes from that region. So I'm following an Instagram account that's all about like Cornwall. And it popped up literally earlier this week and it was like, oh, the story of, let me make sure I get his name right. One second, y'all. I think it's Alan Nance. Yeah, Alan Nance. Okay. So he was. Here he is. And he was a watchmaker and he served in World War I. And unfortunately, as you know, there's a lot of trauma, there's a lot of pain, there was a lot of, it was the founding time of plastic surgery for a reason. There was a lot that happened. So he was injured and he moved to Australia for a while and he got involved with, he really liked to read this magazine or newspaper called the Psychic News. And so he was introduced, and the gentleman's name was, and I kind of have to look into this because I'd love to read more about it. His name was Bill Austin. He met this guy in Australia named Bill Austin, who was the editor of Psychic News. And the gentleman sort of started introducing him to the concept of psychic healing, like spiritual healing. And it was in the 50s, and he was like, I mean, why not? So if he served in World War I and it's 1950s now, he'd probably been dealing with some stuff. So it says one night he had severe eye pain. He prayed and laid his hands over it, and the pain disappeared overnight. Pretty cool. So he started a watchmaking shop. He just had a little shop. And they were like, you could go in the front and get your watch or your watch fixed. And then in the back, he would do psychic healing. And he never took payment. He said that he was only a channel for something greater. People shared stories that include a young woman waking from a coma, a man with cancer, a boy born with a hole in his heart who was able to play football. He never called it magic,
He said it was proof that love and spirit are real and healing belongs to everyone. That was lovely. And then doctors would ask him, and skeptical, be skeptical. Sometimes that happens. Unfortunately, the empirical hard science tends to often be a little bit skeptical. When asked if he felt he ever failed, he said death was only a door opening to another room. That fits into what's going to come later into my little guided meditation. But I wanted to share that because I thought it was really fun. And I love that he talks about how like he never took payment because love and spirit's available for everybody. Like, why would I take payment for this? If it's available to everyone. That's a lovely idea. And I wish that a lot of certain capitalists would put that in practice, but you know what? That's not what this talk is about. But fun fact, that's also what Nikola Tesla believed. He was like, there's an option for free energy. And that's why he lost all his funding from JP Morgan, who wanted to charge a bunch of money. Anyway, look, the point is really great minds in the realm of spirit and energy and goodness say it's free, it's all there, it's love. So I thought that was neat. And then, as many of you other know, you also know, I love to listen to podcasts. And I was listening to a podcast, and the guy was talking about a story he heard from a woman. And she was talking about, you know, in the 70s, she was a kid and she was really shy. And like her best friend was this dog that the family had saved. And unfortunately, the dog had gotten hit by a car and it had a broken hip that healed, but like it couldn't really walk. And so the dad was like, you know, I hate to do this, kids, but you know, tomorrow we're gonna have to take him to the vet. And she had a brother and a sister, and she said all night they would take turns. Each of them would lay over the dog for 2 hours and pray over the dog. Just pray, just hold the dog in their hands and their arms and pray. And it'd be like 2 hours on, 2 hours off. They'd go to sleep. Literally the other sibling would do it. The other sibling would come and they'd do like shifts. In the morning, the dog was walking fine. And the dad said, okay, never mind. And it's just really amazing what that level of love can do. So those are two really lovely examples I wanted to share. And then I have another sort of meditation concept we can get into during the second part, but I wanted to share those two because they're really cool. And I hope you enjoyed. I hope you got a little bit of something from this. And I thought it was a really good, inspiring chapter, and I really love the image of, you know, especially now because it's summertime, the image of, you know, you have permission to go tend to someone's garden and you can help them when maybe they can't tend to it themselves. I think that's a really lovely thing. So thank you all for listening.